God has been talking to me about some things. And as always, when he talks to me, he's talking to me first. And then to you. Okay. And he said to me, he said, you said to the congregation on many occasions that you didn't play basketball, but you were a basketball player, and there's a difference. He said, in the same way, there's some people that walk around and say they believe, but that doesn't make you a believer. See? Because as a basketball player, there are things that I had to do on the court and off the court. I had to study every possible scenario, whatever's going, so that when presented with any issue, immediately I knew how to respond. I didn't have to sit down and think about it. My body just did it, not because it was second nature, it was my nature. And he said, that's the way we need to be if we say we are believers. We need to study, and I'm all the way into Sunday by now, but we have to study our playbook because it gives every possible scenario so that when it comes up, we just respond. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to meditate on. There's not even any prayer required, but it's because it has become us. It's become our nature. We just respond based on our being believers. Would you go with me, please, to Mark 11? As Pastor Clinton used to say, a very famous verse of scripture, Mark 11:23. I got started before I brought up my notes. That's okay, because the notes are in me. He gave me an interesting title for this series. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a new word, so you can't look it up and find it anywhere. Believiology. And by the time we finish, we're all going to be believiologists. Okay. And the title of this message, he gave it to me. And see, I give it to you the same way he gave it to me. And God uses examples and movies and any of my life experiences to show me things. And he asked me about the 73 Mets. Okay. I'm like, God, you know baseball? He's like. And the 73 Mets, they didn't win the World Series, but they got to the World Series, even though they played horribly, right? And on August 30th, a month before the end of the season, they were in last place. Okay. And midway through August, they were, I don't know, 12 games out or something like that. But the general manager and the executives pulled a team together and they were giving them a rah-rah pep talk. And at the end, one of their relief pitchers, Tug McGraw, said, we can do this. You got to believe. And that became their rallying point. You got to believe. And even though, I believe still to this day, correct me if I'm wrong, Robert, but I think still to this day, they have the worst winning percentage of any team that's ever won the pennant and gone to the World Series. Their record was 82-79, a 509 winning percentage, which is, if those of you that know baseball, it's horrible. It's barely above 500. You know? But they believed. And because no matter what happened, they believed all these unique things would take place on the baseball field. Teams that were solid were letting balls go through their legs. And they're winning games that everybody thinks they should lose, and they keep moving closer and closer and closer to the top, all while saying, we believe. And it was more than words. It became a part of them where it did not matter what was taking place on the field, they believed they were going to win the game. And then what they had, they won, what, the five out of the last seven game, went on a five-game winning streak to eke out the championship. But they did it. And guess what? You think they care that people say you have the worst winning percentage ever? They won. They came in first place. They just lost to a superior Oakland team, who was probably believing also. But that was their cry. You got to believe. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to believe.
You got to believe.
All right? Turn to your other neighbor and say, no matter what happens, you got to believe. Okay? In Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus answering. That's a whole nother. Because I said, who was he talking to? No one had said anything. But he was answering something that the tree presented, but that's another message. Okay. Then don't think about that. Let me erase that from you. You mind? It said, Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, keep saying it and you'll have it. That's not what it says. Therefore, I say, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. Believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. The Philip says, have faith in God. I tell you that if anyone should say to this hill, get up and throw yourself into the sea, and without any doubt in his heart, believe that what he says will happen, that it'll happen. Simple. He said, that's why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. See, you can pray from now to the rapture. And if you don't believe the words that you're praying, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. And we talk a lot about faith. We talk a lot about confession, but we don't talk about believing. We say we're believers, but we don't talk about believing. And I know that faith and belief are used interchangeably, but we don't talk about believing. We say, have faith. What does that mean? It means you believe in something or somebody. That's what it means. And when you think about that, if you are a believer, nothing should ever shake you. I don't care what it is, because you believe. And because you believe, you have peace. You have comfort. You have security. You have joy. Because you just flat out believe. The problem with us is that our believing is conditional. We don't have any issues. Most of us don't have any issues. If we sneeze, we can believe away that cold. Sometimes we'll believe away allergies. But if we hear reports on how bad and how high the pollen count is, and we start feeling some of the initial effects of it, we'll start thinking, oh, this one's really going to be bad. And you have it, not because the pollen count is high, but because you really believe it. I mean, I am a living example. I used to say, whenever I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure spikes. And when I'm scheduled, I'm like, okay, I know it's coming. And then I have the nerve to get upset when it came. And then one day I realized, I'm like, what am I saying? And I stopped saying it. And guess what? It stopped spiking. Not because the medicines are so great, but because I realize that I'm a believer. And the characteristic, there's only one characteristic of a believer. They believe. I mean, we don't have a whole lot to remember, folks. We don't. This is easier than playing basketball because they gave you a playbook sometimes that had all these different plays with all these different options, and you'd had to know every single one, and you had to know it instantly. But this is very simple. We need to believe. Jesus said, all things are possible if you believe. And I noticed he didn't say, if you say it. And please don't go out and say, Pastor Greg's knocking confession. No, I'm not. But too many of us are shouting or speaking empty confessions because they're not backed up by belief. So we keep saying and saying and saying, and nothing's changing. And our frustration level starts to get higher and higher and higher, and then you'll just throw it all away. Instead of saying, oh, this word stuff doesn't work, or I guess this is my lot in life, or, you know, well, you know, it only works for those people over there. Boulder dash, whatever that means. Okay. If you believe, all things are possible. And you need to stick a period there and don't put any other words around it. So I want to show you a couple of things here. And then we'll get into it more deeply on Sunday. But in Genesis 1, we know that, you know, the Holy Ghost was brooding. And, you know, and just waiting for his instructions. But I'm going to drop down to verse 26 and 27, and then we're going to go back up to verse 3. Okay? 26 says, then God said, let us, who's us? The Trinity. Right, the Trinity, the Godhead. Let us make man, let us make human beings. I think I'm in the New Living. In our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth. Now think about that. If we are believers, why are we afraid of some animals? God said he gave us dominion. And this translation says, all of the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry about the ground. So why are you afraid of mice? Why do you let them give you the creeps, the heebie-jeebies? It's just a mouse. You have authority over it. You should be able, can you imagine? You stand in front of your house, okay? You stand in front of your house, and you say, all mice, leave my house now in Jesus' name. And you really believe it, you step aside because they all start, you see mouse luggage in their hands, they're just going. Okay. Because they know you mean it and they're not coming back. Imagine that sight. Okay. And as I think about it in the same manner, folks, we need to stop. See, this is one thing that we're pretty good at. In the summer, in spring and summer, we believe away the rain. In the winter, we believe away the snow. So we get to August, and there's a drought emergency because God's trying to bring water down here, and it's interfering with our schedule, so we send it back. Okay? I mean, you need to pray that we have rain. This county's in a drought emergency. And they're starting second level water rationing because we need rain. So we need all of the believers to command it to rain and fill the reservoirs. Amen? Where was I? I was talking about the mouse leaving. The mice leaving. Okay. But God made us in his image, gave us all of this dominion. And he said he made us in his after his image and after his likeness. And if you go down from verse 3, probably to around 8 or 10, it says, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. God did not have to keep saying, light be. Light. I said be. Light, what's the matter with you? Be. No, he said, light be, and light was. He spoke everything into existence once. How many times did Jesus speak to the fig tree? Once. Did it respond to what he said? Why do you think it responded? He believed every word that he said. It's that simple. You don't have to say it. It doesn't say he shouted at it. He didn't get any hand things going to churn anything. He just said, nobody eat fruit from you again forever. Period. But because of all of the power of his belief, the tree shriveled up from its root. It did not have a choice. Because when an object meets a believer, the object is the one that's supposed to change, not the believer. Because a believer just believes. They speak once and something happens. Jesus made it clear in Mark 11:24. He said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. It can't get any more clearer than that, folks. But let me tell you something. Because people will say in a minute, no, I believe. Or some folks say, well, I can believe that. And I'm like, why is that ever a question? If you're a believer, of course you can believe that. You can believe this, you can believe that, you can believe anything if you're a believer. But let's look at this, another familiar account, Matthew 14. This is Peter walking on the water. I just need to make a little... No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to believe I can see it clearly without an issue. All right. Matthew 14, it's King James, beginning of verse 24. It says, now the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. Or they thought it was a ghost. Because their knowledge was no human being can walk on water. They're probably like me, they're watching these science fiction movies and figure if it's walking on water, it's got to be a spook or something that's going to harm them. It says, but straight, and they cried out in fear. It says, but straightway, or we'd say right away or immediately, Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered back. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Now, folks, it took a lot of belief for him to say that. Because he had to believe that whatever it was walking on the water was not a spirit, was not something that was going to harm him, but was Jesus. He never once thought, well, it could be something to hurt me, and he's going to imitate Jesus by telling me to come. No, he just made the request, and Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. Now, was Peter believing at this point? So he should have been good, right? Verse 30 starts off with, but. Let me explain something about that word. See, that can be a very powerful word. It depends on where it's placed. If it's placed after something negative, it's a great word. I'm sorry. I don't have a cure for what you've got. They said, what did the doctor say? Well, the doctor said he doesn't have a cure, but. God said, he sent his word and healed me, and I'm going to believe that. Or you say, I know God said that he sent his word and healed me, but. And then you give whatever the diagnosis was or is. See, it depends on how that word is used. Peter, it says, but. So he should have been good. He said, but. I said that already. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And I'm thinking, why? You asked for confirmation that this being that called you was Jesus. You got confirmation that you believed because you got down out of a boat and started walking across the sea. You started doing it. Why should there be any but in there? There shouldn't. But he saw the wind. Why did that get his attention? See, there is a fish that's referred to as the thug of the ocean. That's the bull shark. Bull sharks are just flat out mean. They'll actually pick a fight. I mean, that's, if you drive by them, they may eat your car. But whatever comes near them, they're going to attack. They don't care. They'll eat anything. If it doesn't digest, they'll just regurgitate it. I mean, that's what they do. They're like, I'm bad, and I know it. So if you're Peter and you're walking on the ocean and a bull shark comes in front of you, you don't move. You're not swayed by it. You keep going on your predetermined course and you don't make any changes because you're a believer. And as far as you're concerned, something's going to happen with this shark by the time you get to that point. Because Jesus told me, go here. And that's where I'm going. And I don't even take no. I just keep going like it's not even there. That's what you do, folks, when you are a believer. But if you just believe, now you're going to take your belief off of the one who called you and put it on the thing that was sent to stop you. And instead of remembering everything we know about Jesus, we start thinking about the reputation of our adversary. I can honestly tell you, I never considered who I was playing against. I didn't care. I had two thoughts. They were given to me by Nate Archibald, the first time I ever was introduced to basketball at that level. He said, Foots, they're basketball players. You're a basketball player. Get out there and play basketball. So as far as I was concerned, whoever I faced was a basketball player. I didn't care what their name was. It didn't matter to me what team they played for, or what college they went to, or what their credentials were. They were a basketball player. I was a basketball player. I'm playing basketball. We're believers. It doesn't matter what the adversary thinks. It doesn't matter what the adversary has done to others. You're a believer. And whatever he did to others, he ain't doing to you if you believe. That's the key. If you believe. And we must get to the point where no matter what comes down the pike, we hold true to who we are because we are believers. It's really that simple. And when you say something as a believer, every fiber of your being expects it to happen. There's no doubt. Period. Even if you don't see it right away. We all know the analogy. You plant a tomato seed in the ground, a tomato vine doesn't spring up right away. And it doesn't matter if people say, it's not going to grow. You keep watering it. And next thing you know, you're going to see that sprout. And then you're going to see the whole vine. You're going to see the little green buds pop out. And they're going to get bigger and bigger. Now you're going to have giant red tomatoes. You just had to be patient. You had to keep believing. And see, to a believer, patience is not an issue. Because if you believe it's going to happen, doesn't matter when. All I know is it's going to happen. How do you know? God said so. What proof do you have? God said so. No, I mean, what actual proof? God said so. There is no other proof that's needed. None. That's what you have to do, folks. You have to just believe and not let anything or anyone change, cause you to change what you believe. And it doesn't matter what it is. And it doesn't matter who it is that comes in opposition. At that point, Peter believed, but he hadn't gotten to the place where he was a believer. Because if he was a believer, he wouldn't have noticed that the wind was contrary. He wouldn't have noticed the waves. He would have been oblivious to them. He'd have kept walking towards Jesus. Period. And I'll tell you something else. If he were a believer, wouldn't matter if he was looking at Jesus or looking at the water. Because if he's looking at the water, it's bubbling up, it's still not fazing him. He's thinking, this is pretty cool. I'm just walking around. Jesus, can we dance a little bit while we're out here? You know, just to prove a point, you know, that all things are possible because I believe, you know, let's just dance a little bit while we're out here in the water in the midst of all of this chaos. See, it's okay to look if you're not going to be negatively affected by it. Because if you're a believer, you don't care what it looks like. And how will you know what it looks like if you don't look at it? See, we don't go through life with blindfolds. We go through life as believers. And the belief, our belief is what protects us, what keeps us. So it doesn't matter what it looks like or what we're going through or what's threatening. None of that matters. Because here, in my heart, I'm a believer. And I let my heart control my head. And only make the right thoughts stay in my head and reject anything that tries to suggest that I'm something less than a believer. And I'm telling you, it's going to try. And it said, immediately, Jesus had to stretch forth his hand. And he said, oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when you study that out, what Jesus was really saying was, Peter, why'd you stop believing? That's what he was saying. Why did you stop? You were doing it. Don't stop. Keep going. You know, I've even heard folks, you know, you have to dig in. And I'm thinking, why? If I'm a believer, I don't have to, because if I have to dig in, I believe this thing is tough. That if I don't dig in, this thing is going to get me. I'm a believer. I'm going to keep going. I should not have to exert any extra effort because of the perceived strength or power of my adversary. I'm a believer. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to have joy. Period. Period. I'm glad three people saw it. In Mark 5, because believers should be fearless, and I'm sticking New Testament because that's where we are. There are a lot of Old Testament accounts of the saints believing, and they ain't have half of what we have. says, while he yet spake, there came from Ruler, verse 35, there came a ruler from the synagogue, house of a certain village, and he said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth you the master? As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So he's telling them, look at that, if you believe, there's no reason for fear. Why not, Lord? Because you are a believer. It's just that simple. Be not afraid, only believe. What's funny is down in verse 40, it says they laughed him to scorn. He didn't care. He took the damsel by the hand in verse 41 and said to her, Talitha kumai, which interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway, or right away, or immediately, the damsel, little girl, arose and walked, for she was the age of 12. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Jesus wasn't. He expected it. He wasn't surprised that she got up and walked. You know why? Because he told her to. That's why. He said to her, get up and walk. And he believed. So she had no choice but to get up and walk. It was simple. When he was in Jericho, this is funny. It's when he encounters blind Bartimaeus. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was walking by, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the people were saying, shut up. He says, many people warned the blind man to be quiet, but he shouted even more. And even louder, probably started doing jumping jacks. Say, here I am, she's right here, you know. And Jesus stopped and said, tell him to come here. And so they go to the blind man and they say, cheer up. He wasn't sad. He was calling out to Jesus. He said, get to your feet, Jesus called you. So the blind man jumped up, left his coat there, left the identification that said he was blind and a beggar, left it there. Why? Because he knew after having an encounter with Jesus, he wasn't going to need it again. He didn't pick and take it with him for safekeeping, just in case. He left his plan B right there on the ground and walked away from it. And then, I think it's so cool. You get to Jesus and he says, what do you want? And most people are like, he said, teacher, I want to see. Jesus said, go, you are healed. This is the New Century Version. He says, go, you are healed because you believed. That's what he said. You believed, you're healed. Doesn't say he laid hands on him. He said to him, go your way. Go on about your business. You believed, you're healed. And immediately, at once the man could see, and he followed Jesus on the road. That's what he did. He said, I'm sticking with this guy. Period. You know. But we have to understand this. Some people talk a good game. They'll say the right things. That's why I tend to watch what one does. Because anybody can say they believe. And you can fool, this is the way God said it to me. He said, you may fool people, but you can't fool your heart. Okay. What's in there, folks, is coming out. Okay. So you can pretend to believe all you want to. The minute crunch time comes, everybody's going to know that you're not even close to being a believer. In John 11, beginning at verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, this is when he got word that Lazarus died. As soon as she got word that Martha was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I mean, if you were here, he wouldn't be dead. Then she says, but I know that even tomorrow, next week. So she said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. So she's telling Jesus, look, my brother's dead, but I know right now, if you ask God for anything, God will give it to you. Great sign of belief. Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. Mary should have said, Martha said, glory to God, and went out and started dancing and shouting to everyone, everybody come meet us at the tomb. My brother's going to walk out in a few moments. But she didn't say that. The one who knows now. Because that's what she said. I know that right now. All right? She said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection and at the last day. And I'm thinking, what happened to you know right now? She wasn't believing when she made that statement, folks. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And she should have gone, wow. Wow, Lord, you are. That means right now, you're the resurrection and the life. But she didn't say that again because she didn't get it. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then Jesus said, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. Now, remember, Jesus just said, whoever believes in me will, though he be dead, he will. Okay. And she said, I believe. And then she puts words in Jesus' mouth. He said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I mean, think about that. She didn't say, yes, I believe we're going to the tomb and you're gonna speak, touch, do something, but my brother is going to live. And then she goes out and tells everybody. But she didn't do that. She went out and lied to her sister. She went to her sister and said, Jesus wants you. He didn't ask for her. He didn't ask for her at all. And she came here to go through the whole thing again. Now they're at the tomb. And Jesus says, take away the stone. And the same one that said, I know, says, Lord, by now he stinks. He's been in there 4 days. She's like, don't open this thing. Forget that. Okay. But I know. I know. I know whatever you ask God, I know now, whatever you ask God, he'll give it. Don't open that tomb. There's a stench in there. I don't want what God's about to do if I got to smell this. She was not a believer. She was too stuck on natural circumstances. She was leaning to her own understanding. And that's where too many of us live, folks. We have too much knowledge. We do. We start thinking about things and studies and research and what he said and she said and they said and who did. That's what we think about. And we don't think God said. We don't think that. We make our plans based on what they, I was tempted to open the article, but I didn't. It said 4 health foods that you should never eat. Oh, some of you saw that article too. Huh? I didn't open it. Because they'll tell you, you read one article, 10 things you should never eat. This one, 15 things you should eat. And you look and some of the same things are on both lists. And you're like, what do I do? Father, what do you want me to eat? Okay. And then you eat what he said. I believe my ear's going to stop sweating so the microphone will stay in place. Okay. I believe that. And little things like that, you have to catch yourself. Because when Josh told me, you know, why having this issue, my attitude was not, I believe that my ear's not going to sweat and this mic is going to stop sliding around. I said, okay, oh, that's why. It's little things like that, and that erodes our belief. Because if I can't believe that this microphone, whatever you call this thing on this mic, will stay on my ear, how am I going to believe for anything else? There's a microphone. It's not even dangerous. But it makes sense. Oh, okay, as long as I know why, well, what am I going to do about it? Tolerate it? Believers don't tolerate. I said believers don't tolerate. Believers speak and things change. Period. And that's the way we have to see everything. So Jesus, this is probably my favorite part of this whole story. Because when Jesus said, by now he stinketh, he said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? I don't think he said it that way. I think he enunciated each word. Didn't I say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Okay, knucklehead. No, that's not Jesus. That's why I'm not Jesus, because that's what I would have said. Okay. All right. But I do believe that his tone was like, what did I say? Were you not listening? And the reason I think that is because I remember calling Pastor Clinton. And he said to me, don't ever in life let me hear you talk about what the devil's doing again. He's supposed to do that because he's the devil. That's what he said. You need to start doing what you're supposed to do, and then you won't care what the devil does. It won't matter. And he was not nice, sweet, cool Pastor Clinton when he said, there's fire shut up in my bones from what he said. And this was over the phone. Okay. See, as I told you, a believer by definition is just simply somebody who believes. Somebody who's maintained their faith, confidence, conviction, and trust in something or someone. Period. And we have to understand that when we received Jesus Christ, we became believers. How can we believe? I asked this question. I may have asked it here. I don't know. But I asked the question when I said, how many of you have a plan B in case you don't make it to heaven? Just give a moment, see if I see any hands. Okay. No. But every one of you, no matter what anybody says, no matter what science may try and prove, you believe that heaven exists, and Jesus punched your ticket. So you're going. Period. We believe that. Why are we afraid of dying? We need to have, why is it that when it looks like we're about to go, we get fearful? We start pleading with God. We start pleading. We get everybody we can think of to pray for us. But you're going to heaven. That's your life goal. And you know, you know you're going. All right, Why am I going there in this lesson? Because when you lose your fear of death, you become a very powerful person. But there's some places we won't go. There's some things we won't say. There's some things we won't do because we're afraid of what may happen to us. Not if we're believers. If we're believers, we're going to go and we're going to do because we believe. And all we need is our belief. We don't need anything else. Folks, Jesus was crystal clear. You know my line. He made it so clear Stevie Wonder could see it. If you believe, all things are possible. Period. That's what he said. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. But if you don't believe it, no matter how many times you say it, you're not going to have anything. And I'm saying that because it is the truth. Because if it wasn't the truth, Jesus wouldn't have asked the person, do you believe? He said, do you believe I can do this? Yes. Well, then say that 16 times each day. And eventually it'll happen. No. He said, if you believe, all things are possible. You guys just told me how to twist it. Yeah, I'm going to say, okay, God, you're going to tell me what to do about this. And he told me how to twist it, and it feels comfortable now. It's okay, it's the end of the message. It feels comfortable. People think we change speakers because their voice is different. Yeah, it's clear now. But it, folks, do you understand what I'm trying to get you to understand? We have the most powerful weapon that could ever be created. We believe. We believe. We call ourselves believers. So all we have to do is believe and not concern ourselves with what comes. As a matter of fact, believers expect things to come. They do. I wanted to play against the best that was out there. Why? To prove that I was just as bad as they were, or better. But I wasn't intimidated by anybody because I believed I was a basketball player. I prepared myself to play. Physically and mentally. We're believers. We need to prepare ourselves physically and mentally. We do. We have to stop letting the word depart out of our mouths. We have to study it day and night. There are times I'm sitting down watching a silly movie and the Holy Ghost saying, I want you to read this verse. I don't say, but I like the scene that's coming up. I get my iPad, turn it, and I start looking at it. And I start looking at it, and I start looking at it. And I get the other iPad and start writing notes in it so I won't have to go from one to the other. And God said, well, this is a message outline. Okay. I put it where I have my messages. So when I want to know, I just peek, I look at that page, and something jumps off. Okay, this is it. That wasn't the case with this one. He just said, bang, here it is. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Physically, my body needs to be in a position where I can go where he sends me. I mean, that's everything that happens to us, folks, is not because of the devil. Most of what happens to us is because of our own overindulgence and lack of discipline. You know, as I'm about 40 pounds overweight, I can stand here and say that. Doctor told me, you lose weight, your knees will feel better. Right? I lost some. I haven't lost enough. My knees do feel better. You know, and he told me how many pounds. I think he said it was, what did he say? Well, 800 pounds of pressure, 800 pounds of pressure for every pound you're overweight. That's what he told me. And I started counting how many pounds I was overweight. I'm like, Lord, change my name to Atlas. All the extra weight I'm carrying around and blaming it on the devil. Right? Devil, that, sometimes I feel sorry for him because he gets blamed for everything. You know. And here's the thing about it, and he can't do anything about it because he can't tell the truth. So he can't say, I didn't say that. No, we have to prepare ourselves because we are believers. And because we are believers, we can walk away from that peach pie a la mode. We can walk away from it. And what's funny, I believe that sometimes God will act divinely, because my body has been, there's this one place, I'm not going to tell you where it is, but they make a mean apple turnover. Big, flaky, with apples from one corner to the other. Every bite has apples in it. And I've been resisting it because my body was craving it. Today I thought, it'd be nice to get a turnover. And my justification was, my body is not beating me up or it's not craving it. And so I said, okay, I'll go and get one. The guy said, I stopped making them in the summer. And Deacon Phyllis said, and I'm like, what? But what happens, it gets so hot, the icing he puts on them melts. I said, I don't like the icing anyway. And I got out of there before I said, look, do me a favor. Why don't you just make two for me and I'll pick them up tomorrow. I have that kind of relationship with some of these store owners. And if I ask for it, they'll do it. But I said, no, I got spiritual. It's a sign. But we have to get to the place, folks, where we'll be disciplined. And what God tells us to do, we'll do. That build, believe it or not, that builds up your believing. Little things like that, because you know it's God prompting you, and you believe it, and you know you'll be okay. I mean, all of that's foundational, where you can just build on. So when you leave here today, your attitude needs to be, I gotta believe. I know it's not correct grammar, so be mindful where you use it. If you're in the right circle, you can say, I have to believe. No, you gotta believe, folks. You're a believer. Period. Done.